As we prepare to hear the word read and proclaimed, let us pray for illumination. Holy Spirit, open our minds and hearts that we may hear the word and wisdom of God. Amen. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Nehemiah. All the people gathered together in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday. In the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is in your strength." So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, "Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. Holy wisdom, holy word.
I was sitting in my office, typing away and munching on my salad when I heard, "Sabbath breaker!" yelled at me from my doorway, and I turned around to see Adam Franchek grinning at me saying, "I saw you through the window. You're working while you're eating lunch, you Sabbath breaker." As a staff, we've been contemplating Sabbath. We've been doing some Sabbath experiments, and my first Sabbath experiment was to practice not eating lunch while I was working. You can see how that's going. So here I am, giving the kickoff sermon of our summer Sabbath series, and I probably should have titled the sermon Confessions of a Sabbath Breaker. In truth, I have always struggled with Sabbath. From the time I was a little girl in church sitting between my parents, my dad who would stretch his arm across the back of the pew, and my mom whose hand was ready to grab my leg, as soon as I started wiggling, they would enact the claw. Clamping down on the wiggling that would happen. And I remember reading Little House in the Big Woods by Laura Ingalls Wilder and thinking that their Sunday sounded absolutely awful. She wrote, "On Sundays, Mary and Laura must not run or shout or be noisy in their play. They might look quietly at their paper dolls, but they must not make anything new for them. They must sit quietly and listen while Ma read Bible stories. They might look at the pictures or hold their rag dolls nicely and talk to them, but there was nothing else that they could do." One Sunday after supper, Laura threw a temper tantrum and yelled, "I hate Sunday." I thought, I can relate if that was my Sunday. But her father called her over and told her a story about his dad's Sunday. So her grandfather's Sabbath observances. On Sunday morning, they ate a cold breakfast because nothing could be cooked on the Sabbath. They dressed in their best clothes and walked to church. They walked because hitching up the horses was work, and you couldn't work on Sunday. And they walked without laughing or talking or even smiling. They had to walk solemnly. In church, they all had to sit still. The boys had to keep their eyes on the preacher and not swing their feet or look around. And after 2 hours, they would walk home and eat a cold lunch, after which their father sat and read the Bible in the afternoon, and the boys sat on a bench and read their catechism for the rest of the day. That's how they observed the Sabbath. Ugh. Now, Grandpa's house was about halfway down a very steep hill, along a road that went from the very top of the hill all the way to the bottom, right past their front door, and in wintertime it was the best place for sledding. And one winter, her grandpa and his two older brothers made a sled. They spent all of their free time working on it. It was the best sled they had ever made, and it had room enough for all three of them, one behind the other. And they had planned to finish it in time to slide downhill on Saturday afternoon, because every Saturday they had 3 hours of playtime. But that week their dad was working in the great big woods, and he had the boys come to work with him. In the morning they had to be up before sunrise to do the chores, then they went to work in the woods, and when they came home they had chores after supper. They had no time to finish their sled until Saturday afternoon. So they worked as hard as they could, but they only finished it as the sun went down. The Sabbath. They couldn't take their inaugural run. All the next day as they were walking to church, they thought about the sled. During church, during the sermon, they thought about the sled. At home, when they ate dinner, they were thinking about the sled. When they were supposed to be studying their catechism, James and George and Laura's grandpa were looking out the window at that perfect winter day, thinking about the sled. The sun was shining brightly, the snow was smooth and glittering. They could see that it was a perfect day for sledding. And then a miracle happened. They heard a snore. They looked at their father and he was fast asleep. They were fearful, but they snuck out the door on tiptoe and left him sleeping. They took their sled quietly up to the very top of the hill, and their plan was to slide quietly by the house. Just one run in their new sled, take it back up to the shed, and sneak back in and read their catechism. So they got on the sled, James first, then George, then Laura's grandpa. And it started slowly and then started going faster and faster until it was flying down that steep hill. But the boys didn't shout. They didn't dare make a sound because they had to go quietly past the house so they wouldn't wake their dad. But just as they had about reached the house, a big black pig stepped out into the middle of the road. The sled was going so fast they couldn't stop or turn, and the sled went right under the pig and scooped it up, and it sat in James's lap, and it started squealing, "Wee, wee, wee." So they flashed by the house with the pig sitting in the front, James, then George, then Laura's grandpa, with the pig squealing so loudly. They saw their dad in the doorway, watching them with an open mouth as they flew down the hill. Down the hill they went, with the pig sitting on James, squealing all the way. So these images from Laura's book are, I believe, the heritage of Sabbath that we carry with us. Well, maybe not the sledding with the pig part, but the strict adherence to Sabbath and the solemnity with which people observe the day, I think, is a part of what we carry with us when we think of the word Sabbath. And I think that it impacts the way that we approach Sabbath today. And I think about what it means to keep the day holy. Holy doesn't mean somber or dour. It means set apart, to be sacred or special. And as I think about these three boys staring out the window at a perfect day for sledding, looking at the snow, it must have seemed like a miracle that their dad fell asleep. To have a moment's freedom in childhood that was filled with chores and responsibilities and obligations, that moment was set apart from the rest of their lives because it was filled with joy. It was a special moment to be flying down the hill on their sled without making a joyful noise. Can you imagine that? It seems wrong to me. And so I think that that pig walking out into the street was an intervention of the Holy Spirit. If those boys wouldn't shout with joy, then the Spirit would provide. During his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, when Jesus is told to quiet the crowd, Jesus says, "Even if I commanded these people to be silent, the very rocks would cry out." So perhaps three boys skimming down a hill in a craft they built with their own hands, drinking in the gifts of wintertime, snow and steep hills, perhaps it was because these boys were not shouting with joy to God that a squealing pig had to be introduced to do the shouting for them. For these three Sabbath-breaking boys. And I will note that Jesus was a notorious Sabbath breaker. Jesus healed people and gathered grain to eat and did other things that were not lawful to do on the Sabbath. So perhaps then the Sabbath isn't about rules, but about something else. Rules can help safeguard things, but they don't give life. Only God is the giver of life. So perhaps then Sabbath is really about connecting to that which is life-giving. Healing, eating, joy, these things are essential for life. So perhaps focusing on what is life-giving rather than rules is at the heart of Sabbath. What makes your heart sing? This is a question that was asked of my husband at a key point in his ministry, and that question has stuck with me. It's a key Sabbath question. What makes your heart sing? What is life-giving for you? What brings you deep joy? In the passage we read from Nehemiah, the people are all assembled to hear the reading of Scripture. We're told that people were weeping because of the reading of the law. Now, we're not told why they were weeping. Was it because they hadn't followed the law, or was it in gratitude that the law prescribed a day of rest? They had just rebuilt the walls around Jerusalem in about 50 days, so they definitely needed a rest. But whatever the reason, they were told, "Do not mourn or weep. This day is holy to the Lord. Instead, they're instructed to eat the fat and drink sweet wine. Eat up, people. Share what you have with those who don't have anything. This day is holy to God, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. So perhaps Sabbath is about appreciating all of God's good gifts because we don't often take time to do so. Appreciating a glass of wine with friends or a good meal and making sure to provide for those who do not have what we have. Appreciating those we love, our friends and family, giving thanks to God for what we have. This seems like Sabbath to me. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy, a strength. Deep joy comes from knowing and understanding that we have this relationship with God, and in the end, we know that love wins. No matter what is going on today, no matter what injustice we see or what pain we experience, these things will not last forever because we know in the New Jerusalem, God will be among God's people and will wipe every tear from their eye. Pain and sorrow and suffering will be no more, for these things will have passed away. And on the Sabbath, we live as if this time has already been made manifest. We live as if God is here in our midst, already wiping away our tears, reuniting us with loved ones, bringing peace and love and justice. We live as if our work is already done. Living like this one day out of six provides us with the energy, imagination, and enthusiasm, the creativity to keep going through another week until we get to replenish our bodies, our minds, and our souls again with Sabbath. But it's not just a day, it's a way of being in the world. It's not about following rules, it's about following your heart as it leads you closer to God and closer to the abundant life that God wants for you. So friends, this Sabbath breaker, this Sabbath failure is moving into summer with a growth mindset. I will confess, I do not have it figured out. So I'm going to experiment with Sabbath this summer in different ways. I plan to faithfully fail forward as I learn what it is that makes my heart sing, so that I can cultivate not a fleeting happiness, but a deep joy. Joy in the knowledge that whatever is going on in life, whether difficulty or tragedy or loss, that I have this habit of Sabbath, this Sabbath outlook on life that reconnects me to God and the most important things in life that sustain me. As I was meditating on the scripture and thinking about Sabbath, I was doing my normal painting meditation, and the image that you see came to mind. Because one of the things that I loved when I was a kid was to take our old tire swing and twist that rope up tight so that that tire would begin to rise higher from the ground. And then when I got it twisted up real tight, I would hop on. And it would take a minute for that tire to start to unwind. But then it would start spinning faster and faster, and I would hang on and lean back and just spin. And occasionally it would bump as it would unwind. And I would hang on for dear life. And I loved how it felt. It was just filled with joy. And eventually it would settle into a lazy oval, and then I would hop off and begin that process of winding up that rope again. This is what I think of when I think of Sabbath. All week we are winding up that rope, increasing our tension and building up twisted knots. And then on the Sabbath, God says, "Hop on, kid, we're going for a ride." Maybe for you, that feels like a tire swing spinning so that you can let your tension go. Or maybe it feels like a sled flying down a steep hill with a squealing pig in your lap. Or maybe it's just a walk with your dog. But whatever it is, I pray that you feel the joy of the Lord, and this strengthens you for whatever lies ahead. May this be so. Amen.